The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Merkle Media.
What does the goddamn line say, Tony?
Please do not use gendered language.
Then what? I'll be arrested, put in airport jail.
Look, you're going completely sideways, man.
It's a big club, and you ain't in it.
How dare you?
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
I'm Chris Hansen with Dave on NBC.
Jack Marius Tactheratrix.
Hi, I'm Spartacus.
Keith Jackson, Sacramento, he, him.
Steven Seagal.
Sex offender guy.
I'm Keith Morris.
This is Muammar Gaddafi.
I'm Rick James, bitch.
Sorting through the lies.
The hijacker's passport was found blocks from the World Trade Center crash site, if you can believe that.
We cannot track $2.3 trillion in transactions.
And uncovering the centuries-long plan for world domination.
Learning about Cuba, having some food.
Let's talk about Chinese people.
Have you ever been in a Turkish prison?
I have
for a
I have sent six of my Libyan missiles to blow up the CS hardware department.
Nothing could be more fun than jumping off a cliff with two German bisexuals.
Oh, you English are so superior, aren't you?
Thank you, comrade.
And now, macroaggressions.
That's what assholes call it.
With your host.
Buddy, I don't know who you are, but you're about to get chlamydia.
Charlie Robinson.
Hey, Whitey, where's your hat?
You want to drop the blame on Charlie and say it's all Charlie's fault.
He was a retard.
I get some goddamn diuretic.
Welcome to Macroaggressions. I'm your host, Charlie Robinson. If you are watching us on Rockfin or Rumble, or you're listening wherever podcasts are served, thanks a million. We appreciate the support. You can rate the show if you'd like. If you think we've done a good job, give us 5 stars. We appreciate that. The algorithms appreciate that more than we do, but we'll take it. Hey, if you want to connect with me, the website is theoctopusofglobalcontrol.com. You can follow me on Twitter at Macroaggression. Big thank you to the sponsors. They make the show work. Legal Shield has been in business for half a century in the United States and Canada, and they're going to get you access to a high-powered attorney for $1 a day. Very reasonable amount. If you have issues, traffic tickets, red light camera tickets, you need to get your last will and testament done, you need a financial power of attorney, a medical directive, you need any of that paperwork done, your work wants you to sign some weird employment contract that includes information or language about what you agree to do medically in the event of, another emergency that comes out of nowhere, send all that stuff to your attorney. You're going to have access to it. You might as well use them. That's what you pay for. Tell you what, the best thing to do is go to the website and take a look for yourself. www.don'tgetpushedaround.com is the site specific for this show where you can find out everything that Legal Shield has to offer. Take a look for yourself. There's a lot. They didn't hire 87,000 IRS agents to go after Jeff Bezos and Bill Gates. They hired them to go after you. Okay. And if you have Legal Shield, you can withstand an audit by the IRS for your W-2. You have access to their attorneys, your attorneys, in order to fight that. So you're going to have help. You're going to have protection. Keep this in mind in the event that something weird happens on your end or you need access to an attorney real quick. Don'tgetpushedaround.com is the place to go. Also, big thank you to the folks at Chemical Free Body. Tim James and the crew over there are making outstanding products that actually work. Green 85 has been a part of my daily morning routine for the last 3.5 years. I suspect it will be for a very long time. I don't eat enough vegetables. I supplement it by drinking my Green 85. seems to work for me. The detox bundle definitely worked for me. It cleaned me out in a way that made me have to go buy new shorts. So if it had that result, you know, for me, it stands to reason it could work for you. Go to chemicalfreebody.com. Take a look for the detox bundle. If you find anything that you like, the promo code MACRO on the way out will save you a little bit of money to help with what you're buying. So listen, we'll take it. Oh, also, since we're talking about it, I'm going to be mentioning it probably every episode from here on out. See you in Mexico, Acapulco, February 11th through the 16th, 2024. Anarchapulco, ANARCHAPULCO.com. Anarchapulco. That's the place to go. We're doing it this year. I'm going to be the host and MC of it. So I'll hope to see you there. If you see me, come up, say hi. I'm going to be running around. They've got me busy. So if you're in Acapulco, if you're just thinking of getting out of the cold weather in February, there's worse places to be than Acapulco, Mexico. I can tell you right now what the weather forecast will be 6 months in advance. It will be 84 degrees and not a cloud in the sky. I've never been to Acapulco and seen a cloud in the sky. All right. I'm always there the same week. It's always completely sunny. It will warm you up. You'll meet a lot of people. It'll inspire you. Anarchapulco.com, promo code MACRO. Save yourself a little bit of money. Well, I'll tell you, from I do a lot of reading for this, as you might imagine. Even if it wasn't doing this job, I'd still read quite a bit. More magazine, I mean, more articles and stories and things like that, as opposed to just straight books, although I do read those. They just take a little bit longer. And considering how much information is out there, I catch myself reading about a variety of topics and reading topics from a variety of authors. Leo Holman is one that he's a guy I've been reading for a long, long time. He put out an article that was so good. I was like, I have to steal this. No, I'm just kidding. I have to incorporate this into the show because he was talking about, the 4 Ds, right? The digitization, dehumanization, destruction, and depopulation. So we're going to go ahead and call this one 4D chess, if that's okay with you. A nod to our favorite lunatic, Donald Trump, who is convinced that he's playing 4D chess against these people. I don't think so. I really don't think so. I mean, he's playing a game, that's for sure. I'm not sure it's chess. It might be checkers, might be Chinese checkers. I don't know. But when I got through Leo's article, it really kind of stood out with me. I was like, yeah, I think he's on something here, because it's something for us to keep our eyes open on in the medium to short-term future, the direction that we're going here, the digitization of humanity. But it happens very subtly. You know, it's not all at once. It's not what they're talking about now, how they want to quantify and account for every tree and every forest and every leaf on every tree. Good luck with that, man. I mean, I talk about busy work for psychopaths, but the digitization of humanity is most definitely happening. Maybe not at the scale that they would like you to believe, but it is happening. And we're going to get into this. We're going to get into all 4 of these Ds, because I thought it was such a great observation by Leo. His last name is Hohmann, Leo Holman. So check out his work, support his stuff, because I think he's doing outstanding writing. And let's talk a little bit about this, because I think if we understand the direction they want us to go, then we can move out of the way. You know, we just don't have to participate with this. Some of it's out of our hands. Some of this, the destruction, we're not going to be able to stop it all. One of the things we can do is we can acknowledge it. We can move ourselves to the left or right and get out of the way. You don't want to be admiring the destruction and then get destroyed yourself, of course. So you need to kind of position get yourself to a vantage point where you can watch this stuff happen without it affecting you to the extent that you can do that. So let's start with the first D, which is digitization. Now, we've seen this with money, probably the most obvious form of this is the digitization of money. Now, we have dollar bills in our pocket, Federal Reserve notes, if we're being more accurate, and they've always existed, and you know, you've got them, but you do most of your transacting digitally anyway. You wrote a check for something, maybe you wrote a check for your rent, and maybe you put something on a credit card, maybe you have auto pay for things, whatever. You're already using the digitization of money and have been for a long time. There's nothing new about that. There's nothing evil about it as long as, you know, you keep it within certain parameters. But the idea of digitizing money so that it's easier for you to transact with has been around for a long time. So that's not the problem. The problem is when you can set up these situations, especially with regard to money. You can program this money so that it does something else. It's more than just dumb money in your wallet. It has certain qualities to it. Some maybe good qualities. Some maybe horrible. Right. It's not the digitization that makes it bad. It's the limitations put on it that can make it bad, right? So we're talking about digitizing money and you go, well, that's your credit card or that's PayPal or whatever. We've been doing that for a while. Is it crypto? Yeah, it's crypto too. Is it Bitcoin? Yes, Bitcoin is digitized. Is it central bank digital currencies? Yes, it is. It's those as well. Are they the same? No. No, so you may have some overlap in the fact that the wire transfer, the Bitcoin transaction, the PayPal transaction, the central bank digital currency theoretical transaction in the future, they're all digital. They're all no longer tangible in your hand types of arm-to-arm transactions with people. You're now working in a digital era. Is that bad? Well, it could be, but just the digital side doesn't necessarily make it bad. So when you've got Bitcoin that's fully transparent and on the blockchain, and you can see what everybody's got, and you can see where it's been, and those things. Listen, there's upside to that. There's downside too. You know, it's transparent whether you want it to be or not. If you like the concepts of Bitcoin and you like the fact that you like a version of it that's less transparent, you would look at a crypto like Monero as a limited supply, but also very private. We don't need people to know what we've got. So you're going to tick a lot of the boxes on the digitization with crypto, and you might be led into some sort of false sense that either all crypto is safe or that all crypto is central bank digital currencies. The answer is it's both. It can be both, right? The digital Bitcoin can be a fantastic saving mechanism for you because there will only be 21 million Bitcoins created into existence, and therefore if you've got one of them, or if you've got a fraction of one, then you have something that has a limited supply. Is that a good thing? I think it's a good thing. I definitely do not like the idea of them being able to constantly inflate the money supply. Programmable money is very dangerous because you've got the wrong people in charge of the programming. So in this form of digitization that Leo's talking about, central bank digital currencies being programmable, being geofenced, being tracked, allowing you, or maybe only allowing you, to shop on the company store and have an expiration date to your money, have it tied into a social credit score, all of those things are clearly terrible. Okay, that is a dystopian nightmare that we may be walking into. So on the one hand, you know, you've got to be careful about just painting everything digital with a broad brush and saying, oh, it's all, you know, out of our control. It's all controlled by technocrats and they're going to use it against us. Well, maybe, you know, maybe they will. they certainly will try. We know that the technocrats will try to control the sheeple people as much as they can. You can prevent that by having money that is less controllable by them. You certainly would never want to sign up for a central bank digital currency. You would be insane to do that. And I'll tell you what, since we've mentioned PayPal and since we're talking about programmable money, think about this as a concept. When PayPal fined, there were users of PayPal that were getting a $2,500 fine by PayPal themselves, the company. They were saying, you know, you said something that goes against our terms of services on your, I don't know, Twitter or maybe on your website or whatever. It goes against our terms of services. So we fined you $2,500. Wait, what? You, PayPal, have stuck your nose into my private business about what I'm saying. You didn't like what I said, and now you're going to fine me? You are going to fine me? The government is going to, no, is the government going to fine me? No. Is the police, are the police going to come get me? No. PayPal's going to fine me. What? How explain how you have been harmed in this scenario, PayPal. How, explain how my words have hurt PayPal. Not so much that they need to sue me for $1 million and not so little that they'll allow it to just kind of go away, but just enough that my outburst is worth exactly and always $2,500. I mean, just admit that you're pulling this number out of your ass. Just admit that you're pulling this policy out of your ass and just admit that you're on the wrong side of humanity if you're doing this. If you're trying to manipulate people into control, you know, controlling their speech by not allowing them access to their money or fining them and therefore taking their money. By the way, PayPal has, when you sign up with PayPal, it connects to your bank account. So they've already got one foot in there. Now, whether they can legally take your $2,500 out, that's a different story. But they've got armies of lawyers too. And somewhere along the line, they thought that this was a good idea. So is that form of digitization of money troubling? Oh, yeah. I mean, deeply troubling. But then you start to see the active online campaigns to demonize other forms of money. We've seen it with Bitcoin. We've seen it with Monero. Oh, these that's what drug traffickers use Monero. That's what money launderers use Monero. Oh, I hope. I fucking hope so. I can't wait until all of the money launderers figure out about Monero. That'd be great. Yeah, my $150 a coin or $100 a coin or wherever it is you're buying it. Oh, please. Please, drug traffickers, money launderers, and all you quote criminals out there, I can't wait for you to figure out about this. So they're going to demonize it, and that's what they do. Not because it's the worst thing ever, but because it provides a solution. We can't have solutions for the poors, of course, can't have that. So we see that we're the digitization doesn't necessarily mean currency either. I'm sort of going down this path of making it about currency, but how about the digitization of Twitter, of X, the biometric component to that, right? They say that's coming soon to get on Twitter. Okay. Let's extrapolate out a couple of years and just take that line of thinking and see where that winds up, where you can't get on Twitter unless you've put your face, you know, your ID card and you've got it tied into biometrics, which eventually will turn into an internet ID card in which you'll need to know who you are and where you are, you know, where you live and what you look like, and maybe even some sort of, you know, maybe some biometrics themselves, scan your eyeballs, scan your butthole, whatever it is that they think that is going to make you a unique little special snowflake online that they can track, because it's always about tracking and safety and security, don't you know, as they're building a digital voodoo doll of you, a digital twin, as they say. So this is the direction that we're going online, and, you know, identity is is the current version, the anonymity of being online right now, you can see it going away. You can see the push for that. And I've sort of long proclaimed in a, you know, just a sort of a prediction, but I think one anchored in reality, you know, some event that happens, some really terrible event, a lot of people get killed, especially kids. And they say, oh, if only we had known who the person was, the perpetrator was, we would have been able to, you know, it turns out that when once, you know, in retrospect, this lunatic that went into a school and did all these things, he had been posting about it online, but he was using screen names like, you know, Sugar Daddy 69, you know, exclamation point. We just don't know who Sugar Daddy 69 exclamation point is, because you can pick whoever you want to be online. But if we'd had an internet ID card tied to his biometrics, then the minute Sugar Daddy 69 exclamation point started talking about how, you know, the real solution is to go into these schools and start shooting up kids and everything, if only we had known, then we could have stopped this before it happened. And then flying out of Congress a day later, 72 hours later, will be a 3,000 page report bill already written saying the keep internet kids alive at school online bill or something, you know, and then the acronym will be like blood or Satan or something, you know, it'll be something really backwards where you're like, holy shit, are you kidding me? I'm kind of half kidding about all this stuff, but you understand where I'm going with this. They're going to work backwards. They're going to say you being anonymous online is a huge problem, not in reality, but it's a huge problem to the authorities because they want to know who's saying what, especially when it's critical of them. And they definitely want to know who is giving up the game about these narratives that they're trying to push on people. And then these internet sleuths out here, these anonymous people, are debunking them in real time. And it's really hard for us to lie to the general public with all these people keep debunking us. So the best way to figure that out is to know who these people are. And then we can pay them a little visit. So the idea of being anonymous online is coming to an end. So when Leo Homan writes about the digitization, you know, it's not just crypto, it's the digitization of you too, right? Find out who you are, start to assign you a social credit score, right? Start to connect these things. And these social credit scores, you know, first they're going to start with the carrot portion of the show, which is, you know, think about how amazing this is that you're going to get extra points on your social credit. And if you have enough points, then you can get discounts at stores. You can get a discount. You get, maybe you get a free bus pass for the entire year. Maybe you get a free train. They tie it into some, you know, giveaway where you get to ride the trains for free for the next year or whatever. And so it starts off nice and it's social credit score. Watch you build this up, build it up so that you get rewards and you can redeem those rewards for discounts or something sort of innocuous, something like video game arcade tickets. You collect enough tickets, you can trade them in for the, you know, for the stuffed animal over there. So it starts with that. And then it starts to take a turn in this digitization process, right? Where it becomes less about like, well, you know, stuffed animals and more like, you know, we're going to stuff you in your little micro apartment and not let you out because your social credit score is too low. So it goes from the carrot to the stick in quite a hurry. Discounts and privileges and bragging status, you know, all of a sudden that gets, that starts to change. Now your social credit score is tied into your passport and your driver's license and your online internet ID card and all of this stuff. And then there's no more anonymity online ever, right? That's where they're going. So let's move on to step two then, dehumanization. And he goes in, Leo goes in and starts talking about humans being replaced by transhuman hybrids. Now, if the first time you're hearing this concept is now, it's real easy to be dismissive of transhuman hybrids. You just go, come on, you know, I've seen Star Trek. That's a ways away. That's a Starship future. That's not tomorrow. Have you watched the news anchors lately? I mean, I'm not convinced that they're not transhuman hybrids, to be perfectly honest with you. Half the people that I see glitching out, you know, it's not as far-fetched as people would like to admit. The idea of transhumanism hybrids, it starts small. It starts with, a gene therapy rush to market experimental vaccine that isn't really a vaccine. We could start there, right? Now inserts an operating system into your body. And now technically and legally, you are one deviation less human. You are now maybe legally at some point, they determine where that line in the sand is. And you all of a sudden become no longer human, pure blood, but transhuman. So that opens up a huge can of worms. It's all stunning and brave while they're telling you that you can get on the bus cheaper because you've got something embedded into your wrist that you can just scan over the swiper and they go, oh, look how easy this is as you develop arthritis or whatever you get from that, not to mention the fact that they're tapping into your brainwaves more than likely. So, you know, it starts off as like a novelty act where you're like, oh, I'm going to improve the quality of my life by streamlining the process. I have embedded a cell phone in the palm of my hand. Great, until you're jerking off and calling everybody with your hand phone, you know, whatever. This is where we're going. And of course, I'm trying to make it kind of cartoonish only because the idea of this being more diabolical is terrifying. And I'd probably rather not like to think about it because we see where this is going. We understand with genetically modified organisms, you cannot patent the seeds of a natural tomato plant because it's natural. It's not yours. It was in Mother Nature. Started on this planet and it's not yours to own. But if you make that tomato less than a tomato, if you make it legally not a tomato, it's a genetically modified tomato. And therefore, you know, sort of it might look like a tomato and it's pretty red, but it's not exact. I mean, it looks almost like a tomato, but there's some characteristic and you cut it open and it's definitely not, but you eat it. So at some point, what do we do? At some point, when you've got enough scans in your hand phone, you've got enough embedded technology in you, you've got enough gene editing technology in you through vaccines, at some point, a court system is going to say, at some point, an enterprising defense attorney is going to say, Your Honor, all of these laws that you're bringing, all these charges that you're bringing against my client, they're invalid. My client isn't a human being anymore. My client is transhuman. He has an mRNA technology in him. He's got a scanning technology in him. Hell, he's not even a human being. The laws in your law book all apply to humans. My client is not a human. Therefore, you got to let him out. Can you envision that? Can you envision a scenario in which someone tries to do that? Well, then they make the case for that. Then they say, okay, well, it's true. You are no longer human. You are technically one deviation away from being an authentic human being because you have all this stuff in you. Nobody would ever accuse you of being a fully human when you've got gene therapy, mRNA technology coursing through your veins. You are not like me. You are different from me. Maybe the laws don't apply to you. Maybe that lawyer gets his client off that one time. And then every time after that, you know, Monsanto gets brought up on charges and they say, you have injured these people. You've harmed these people. And they go, what people? They're not even real people. They're transhuman. They don't count. The laws don't apply to them. Whatever we did to them, we can do to what we can do. You're not bringing me up on murder charges for killing pigs, are you? Why are you bringing me up on murder charges for killing these transhumans? They're not even human, right? Can you understand that slippery slope? This is what he's talking about with dehumanization. I mean, it's one thing to just take a human being that you walk by every single day who's sitting on the sidewalk, you know, strung out, just having himself, you know, just in a, you know, down on his luck for years and years. You walk by that person and you think, oh, well, they've just destroyed themselves with drugs, you know. Well, what about somebody that has destroyed themselves with pharmaceutical drugs? And you walk by them every day. Next thing you know, you start to have less sympathy for them. You know, you're not even. So then there's two tiers of people. Now we start to get into like Gattaca, that movie. Now we start to get into Brave New World, that book. You know, so we're slipping down a very, you know, a very dangerous slope in the dehumanization of humanity. And it can happen a variety of ways. Obviously, you know, we're talking about people have been impacted by genetically modified organisms. They've been boosted out of their minds. They've been, you know, they're vaccine damaged. We know about that. That's been a big thing for the last couple of years. But what about before that? Like, haven't we been dehumanized in a variety of ways? I mean, the pharmaceutical industry sells antipsychotic drugs and antidepressant drugs and selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors, otherwise known as SSRI drugs. These turn you into a zombie. I mean, did that not take away part of your humanity? Hey, guess what? You're not depressed anymore because you don't feel anything. Is that, you know, is that what we want? We've got mental illness going crazy. We've got people on multiple medications, you know, a cocktail of pharmaceutical drugs that are interacting with each other in weird ways. We've got illegal drugs that people are on. We've got a mental health crisis. We've got people trying to self-medicate with a variety of substances. We've got Common Core teaching people math. We've got woke colleges teaching kids that, you know, kill your parents, they're all racist and things like that. I mean, we're already dehumanizing an entire generation of people. So, you know, between that and the fluoride and the mainstream media, look, I mean, maybe we should listen to Klaus Schwab when he talks about the World Economic Forum's call for a fourth industrial revolution. And what that means, that is transhumanism. He said it is the blending of man with machine into transhumanism. Now, we've done work on what Huxley was talking about when he wrote Brave New World, when he coined the term transhumanism in the 1960s. That term is not some offshoot of like the medical scientific industry. The concept of transhumanism came out of the eugenics movement, the depopulation movement. They had discovered that eugenics had a certain, oh, I don't know, reputation associated with it, you know, with all the mass murder and everything, and that that's bad for business. When your business is in covertly killing everybody, and then all of a sudden people understand that eugenics means this is the process by which we thin out the herd, and you don't want people to know that you're trying to thin out the herd, well, then you have to change the brand, right? So they rebranded that about 60 years ago, pivoted from eugenics, which is the reason why you don't see the British Eugenics Society anymore. It's the reason why it's not called American Eugenics Society. It's called Planned Parenthood, because the term eugenics has a really bad reputation. So they used transhumanism as a word to replace eugenics. Now, the general public hasn't caught on yet that that's what they hear. So when the fourth industrial revolution, aka transhumanism, is held up as this is the direction that we want to take humanity, what you need to do is you need to say, if transhumanism equals eugenics and eugenics equals depopulation, then maybe they aren't kidding when they say that where they want to take the general public is to depopulation. Would you feel, I mean, do you feel that they're wrong in this assessment? Because everything that I see shows that they are taking us down a path towards transhumanism. And if transhumanism isn't dehumanizing of the general public, I don't know what is, right? You're quite literally making them a you're transitioning them from human into something else. This is the definition of dehumanization, but they're doing it very covertly with language and words. They talk about, Harari openly mocks us. It says that, he says, like, you don't need free will. Free will is an old concept. You don't need free will. There's no God. You'll own nothing. You are cattle. You'll own nothing. We'll take care of everything. Don't worry about that. They're brazen about it. They don't care. They know you won't do anything about it. That is if you're even paying attention. That is if you even understand what transhumanism means. So when you've got, Julian and Aldous Huxley, committee of 300 members, you've got Brave New World, a technocrat's wet dream. You've got Aldous Huxley writing Brave New World, talking about how people will come to love their servitude. You've got his brother Julian Huxley coining the term transhumanism as a rebranded eugenics. And you've got Klaus Schwab saying, listen, we're moving into a fourth industrial revolution. Forget the third one. Forget silicon wafer chips and computer transistors and processing. All that, that's ancient stuff. We're doing something better. We're under the fourth industrial revolution. What is that? That is the blending of man with machine. Oh, you mean like Steve Austin, $6 million man type of stuff? Maybe. Maybe for somebody. Maybe somebody's gonna lose their arm in a industrial farming equipment catastrophe and get a new robotic arm put on. Is that transhumanism? Yes. But that's a great thing. Well, yes. Yeah, if you get an extra arm when you need an arm, then transhumanism will be held up as, hey, look, it gave this guy the ability to use an arm again, or it gave this paralyzed person the ability to walk again. Isn't this fantastic? How dare you over there criticizing this? If it wasn't for this technology, like, this person would never be able to walk again. You go, I get all that. I can hold two thoughts in my head at the same time. I can fully recognize that there are advances with medicine that will improve the lives of some people. Undeniable. I can also acknowledge that that same technology can be weaponized and turned on humanity. And it just really depends on who's in charge of it. So forgive me when Klaus Schwab says, you will own nothing and be happy. You will eat the bugs. You will live in a 15-minute city. Our big brand and marketing push is for the fourth industrial revolution, which is actually transhumanism. It's not unreasonable for you to ask, well, what is exactly transhumanism? It is the dehumanization of mankind. Again, so and since we're talking about transhumanism in terms of, robots and things like this, are we going to have the conversation about the transsexual agenda as well? Because if you think they're not connected, you're wrong. They're most definitely connected. None of this stuff isn't happening accidentally at the same time. A transhumanism movement, at the same time there's a transsexual movement, not accidental. Part of this, a subset. So the trans movement is an evolutionary cul-de-sac, as Carlin would say. Not a whole lot of kids coming out of that movement. That's the reason why they have to constantly recruit young kids, because you're not getting, you get that bearded pregnant man from time to time story that they run in the papers, and you look at it and you just instantly start laughing. You go, well, this kid's going to grow up fucked up for sure with these parents. And you look at that and you go, well, maybe one person is getting pregnant here and there. I mean, it's certainly not like going to be any threat of replication. And you go, well, is that is that accidental or is that by design? There's no threat of reproducing in a society that is now kind of quietly telling you, we don't want you to reproduce because we want there to be fewer people on this planet. It all comes down to depopulation. It always does, unfortunately. But you've got to recognize the agendas or you'll fall into it. You got to have a plan or else you become part of somebody else's plan, as Terrence McKenna said. So we're getting into a place where it's not only is it dehumanizing, as Leo Homan talks about in this article, but also it's creating more dependence on technology as well. When you start to have self-driving cars, and you can envision a scenario 100 years from now when it's like, where you're like, your grandfather, your great grandfather, you know, is like, I've never driven a car. I wouldn't even know how to drive a car, you know, and you're going to think like, oh, this is a, everyone knows how to drive, or everyone's going to learn how to. Well, people that live in big cities, people that grew up and lived their entire lives in New York City, like Michael Malice, prime example, grew up in New York City, finally moved to Austin, got away from it. And he's like, I don't know how to drive. So listen, you can become dependent on this technology. You can get very used to it, and it can be taken in the ideas, you know, this AI heavy push or self-driving car push, you know, just extrapolate that out a couple generations. You get yourself to a point where it's like, nobody ever knew how to drive cars. Don't you know? We've always been at war with Eurasia. So you get into that weird thing. And of course, look who's behind the transhumanism and the AI and the self-driving cars and the push and all of this. You've got Eric Schmidt, you've got Google, the Pentagon. I mean, these are dangerous institutions and corporations and human beings that are trying to drive this technology in a direction that I don't think really has our best interests at heart. If we're talking about dehumanization, what could be more dehumanizing than having somebody put a brain chip in your head? Neuralink, Elon Musk, right? Oh, we've got to, we've got to put the good chip in before they put the bad chip in, you know? No, that is crazy logic. And I'm not going to get on board with that. Dehumanization in the form of what? 23andMe and Ancestry.com, taking your genetic information and doing what with it? I mean, best case scenario, they're just selling it. That's the best case scenario. Worst case scenario, there is a digital, maybe even a real life version of you in some underground base somewhere. I don't know. I don't want to freak everybody out, but I'm just saying it's possible. So again, how would we measure sort of the unquantifiable components of dehumanization, right? Of the subjecting you to horrible sites online that you see over and over again, or news stories or whatever. And you get to a point where you're just like, I don't even want to be around these people anymore. I don't want to live here. I can't live with those Republicans. I can't deal with those Democrats. I don't want to be in a place with them. So we're already starting to see that. We're starting to see, so that's more of like a subtle thing, a dehumanization where you get to a point where you're like, I used to have a whole lot of friends. And I used to go, there'd be a dinner or a party or whatever. And now you get the invite and it's not a whole lot of friends. Maybe it's very few of your friends now because everyone else thinks you're crazy or they've been programmed to see you as an other, you know, that's the guy that, you know, we can't go out to dinner with him or else he'll start talking about the New World Order and we don't want to do that. And we're all vaccinated. We don't want to have a conversation with him. We don't want to invite him because then he'll come and he'll make us have to think about the fact that we're all vaccinated and we're going to feel stupid. So let's not, you know, so again, you're already in a process of dehumanization over the last 3 years with COVID. Stand on that dot, get in this bubble wrap to hug your dying grandmother. Oh, face scans. We're in the face scan world. We're talking about smart cities. We're talking about, what are we, human livestock? Don't answer that question, right? They're talking about building the line in Saudi Arabia. Have you seen that? It's a building that is 110 miles long, by 770 meters wide. And they call it the line. You're like, oh, this is this the line in the Saudi Arabian desert? Is this the line in the sand? Is this the more than proverbial line in the sand, the actual line in the sand? Can I get out of this building? No. We have everything that you would need in this building. Why would you want to get out of this building? That's fine. Can I get out? No, you cannot. So again, you've got, you know, dehumanizing people physically, dehumanizing people like morally. We've seen that. Dehumanizing them spiritually, you know, to try and get them off of what they believe in. If you can get somebody to not believe in certain things, then you've got them in a very interesting situation, because you can get them to just throw their hands up and say, well, you know, who cares at this point, right? Let's move on to the next one, destruction, right? This is the third D. Destruction of everything sacred, right? Cultural norms, goodbye. Gender, traditional gender roles, gender itself. No, we got to get rid of that. Right? We can't have that. What about the education system? 2 + 2 = 4. Not anymore. It doesn't. We have to, the destruction of the education system is essential. The destruction of your trust in media, if you ever had any, or if you, you know, probably shouldn't, but still every little anchor, you know, every port that you want to anchor your boat in, to just give yourself a break, is corrupted. You know, the rule of law, even if you're like, I'm a total statist, I believe in the rule of law. But even then the laws are written in pencil. So the people that are like, I'm a good person, I do what I'm told, I don't get out of line, I don't give people a hard time, you know, just let me be myself. And well, myself, what are you really at that point? If you're just following every instruction that's given to you, you know, you're like, I don't do any of the bad stuff. I do what I'm told. I just want to be left alone. You can't. That's part of the destruction phase. You cannot be left alone. You can't be left alone with your thoughts. Your thoughts are off limits. Your thoughts got us here. Your thoughts, if it hadn't been for you thinking that you were so much smarter than everybody else, if you'd just done what they told us to do, they wouldn't be attacking us right now. Part of the reason why they're attacking us is because people like you, meaning us, are out there thinking. You're out there doing your own thing. You're freestyling. And it's causing problems for all of us. Now you need to get in line. What? That's a slave mentality right there. That's crab bucket if I've ever seen it. So the idea that we're in this destruction phase, I mean, I think it feels undeniable to me, unfortunately. You know, everything is open for debate. No, normality, sanity, whatever you used to call it. Those are gone. You know, you used to, oh, I'm going to go to the mall and go, you know, I need to go to a department store and get a new suit or something, whatever. You go to the department store to get a new suit. 75 people come running in, grab everything that they can and run out of the store with it and just loot the place. And you go, this isn't normal. No. You're in the destruction phase and you're meant to see this. They could very easily keep this out of the news. They could sit on this. They suppress information all the time. They want you to see it. They want you to see the show. They want you to know we're in the destruction phase. You've already been demoralized. You've already been dehumanized. You know, they're working on the digitization, right? The destruction. There is a plan in place. So as you watch cultural norms get just gutted, as you watch them be replaced with new fears and new ideology like climate change. We only have 12 years to save the environment before we're all going to die. They've been saying that since the late 70s. Like, how many times do you need to fall for that scam before you finally go, you know, maybe the world isn't going to end in 12 years. Right. Yes. Correct. And maybe if Al Gore tells you that anything, you should do the opposite. You know, the destruction in in America right now with the Biden regime is wild, of course. But you're watching them destroy energy independence that America once had to an extent. I mean, we're all sort of, you know, we import a lot of oil. We import a lot of oil because we choose to import a lot of oil. We could really sustain ourselves with what we've got in Texas if we wanted to, but we find it more geopolitically advantageous to buy from others and retain what we've got. But they're trying to get us off of energy independence. They want us to become dependent on one form of energy over another. Like, so can we have... You want to change energy systems? And they're like, yeah, that's right. We want to get away from this dirty coal, this coal burning plants, and you know, we're going to transition to a clean future. And you go, oh, you mean like nuclear? And they go, no. We can't talk about that. And you go, but you said you want a new future, and you want a clean, you know, pollution free energy source. And we've got nuclear for you. And they don't want that. Do you know why they don't want that? It's not because they don't want clean energy. It's because they want you dependent on them. If you have nuclear reactors on, you know, in every state generating all the electricity, you have energy independence. And if you are independent of the state, then you are harder to control. So they want energy dependence. They want you dependent on a very particular type of energy, electricity. And they want that electricity source to come from only coal. As they say that they don't want dirty energy, they have an option for nuclear, which is as clean as it gets. And you get 20% of your electricity from nuclear already, and you get 80% from coal. And what they're saying is, you know, that 20% that you're talking about, pretend like it doesn't exist. Because if we were to make that 20% the whole 100%, or even if we just flip-flopped it and it was 80% nuclear, 20% coal, what you would determine and pretty quickly is we could do this forever. We can run these power plants for a long, long, long time and have our own energy independence. But if you're independent, then they can't control you. And so the part of the destruction phase is destroying the energy system. We've watched it with, and I'm no like, you know, pump every last barrel of oil in the ground and don't care about the environment. I want you to care about the environment. I want them to make sure that when they're doing these extraction processes, that they are not harming the people, the planet, the environment, the animals, the soil. I mean, we need to take a long-term look at this and make sure that we're doing things the right way so that we can, you know, we can regenerate this. So I'm not just some drill baby drill who cares about pollution type of person, and far from it, in fact. But I do think that if they can destroy the relationship that you have with energy, they can build a new relationship in which you are dependent on them fully forever for your energy. And if you get on the wrong side of them, they can turn your energy off. So it's also cultural destruction. I mean, I think if you look at what's happened in the last 10 years in America, you will see the what was left of respect for government is eroding. I never had any respect for government to begin with. So I might be the wrong person to ask about this. But even if you're just like a casual person that's sort of pays attention to politics, it's undeniable that in the last couple of years, you've got the FBI has been completely weaponized. You've seen the court system used against political rivals with Trump lawsuits. You've seen 81 million people totally got out of their house and voted for a guy that refused to campaign. And when he had rallies, he drew 11 people, not making that number up. There was an event in Arizona in which Joe Biden had an event and 11 people showed up. Donald Trump had 17 miles of cars trying to get to his rally. Joe Biden had 11 people showed up that they look like they were lost and confused. He wins the election with 81 million votes. They want you to see that. Okay. They want you to see that Joe Biden is a clown. They want you to see that his son Hunter is a famous painter. Okay. They want you to see all this. They want you to see the destruction of it. And I think that that is part of this psychological destruction. So it comes in a variety of forms and fashions, but when you're, you look at the rule of law, it's gone. You look at the cultural norms that you remember growing up with, they're gone. You look at male and females gone, right? Now, California just passed a law that requiring schools to all put in a third bathroom. Third bathroom, really? These are the priorities. You have people dying all over the place, homeless population, 50% of America's homeless population's in California. You know what California really needs to focus on in order to make that state better? You know what they're really missing more than anything else, more than all of the deficits and the fact that the power grid doesn't stay on in August and that there's forest fires everywhere and that all of that stuff, it's all fine and dandy. You know, the real problem here is that we need a third bathroom in schools. If only we had a third bathroom, then all these other problems would magically go away. They want you to see this. They want you to see the clown show. It's the only explanation for this. The border is wide open. There is a big flashing neon vacancy sign above the southern border. Just says, come on in. Why is that? Well, that migrants destroy morale, that's for sure. You know, there's a whole appetite for, we're a sanctuary city here in San Francisco and Chicago and New York and Philadelphia. We're sanctuary cities in Los Angeles and Seattle and Portland. You know, we take in all these people. Unlike you conservatives out there, you guys are just meanies. You're terrible people. We're sanctuary cities. Oh, you're a sanctuary city until Texas buses all of the migrants into your city. And then now all of a sudden you're saying, how dare you do this? We can't handle all of this. Oh, you could handle it. You know, you could handle it when you were in your, when it was all theoretical. But now that they're actually in your city, you can't handle it. So they want your morale destroyed. They want your customs destroyed. They want your resources to be scarce. They want the black community in Chicago to fight with the migrant community from Venezuela that's just been imported in. They want you to recognize, you remember that high school gymnasium that we used to use for the homeless population, all the Chicago homeless that, you know, when it gets really cold in the winter, we move you guys in because we're not savages. Oh, that gym, that's only for Venezuelans now. Sorry. You've been replaced. They want you to feel that. They want those people to feel like they've been had. You've been had. If you voted for this, if you voted for Democrats, and I'm not on the red team, I'll say it. I have to say it every time I shit all over the Democrats because reflexively everyone assumes, oh, you must be a Republican. Nope, I'm not. But you can only fuck your cities up so much in these Democrat-controlled states where, you know, at some point the people just go, we're leaving. So the question is, you know, we're in the destruction phase. Migrants are brought in to destroy morale. Are they brought in to destroy more than that? Are they the new brown shirts? Are they going to be activated? Will the army be assembled with the leftist brown shirts brought in from foreign countries to do the destruction? You know how that scenario plays out in the end, right? You've heard Yuri Bezmenov talk about what is done to the brown shirts. He wasn't theorizing about it. He just looked at what the Nazis did. Because after the brown shirts were done breaking windows and threatening people and lighting cars on fire, they were systematically put up against the wall and they were shot. Now, tough to do that with Americans, but what if your brown shirts are all a bunch of illegal Venezuelans straight out of prison that you've imported in for the purposes of chaos? Pretty easy to put them up against the wall and shoot them, right? And as this story plays out. So you have to ask, you know, why is the border wall open on purpose? Why is Joe Biden falling apart on purpose? Why are you being asked to watch the show, right? And what is the final stage of this the four Ds? Well, the fourth one is depopulation. And it's on my mind often. It is on my mind a lot of the time. B because when you get into these long-term political moves, you find a common denominator that runs through all of them. And that is, this governing would be easier if there were fewer people. The resources that we've got in this world would be go a lot further if there weren't 8 billion people, if there were 2 billion people, or 1 billion people, or half a billion, as exemplified by the now rubble Georgia Guidestones. They talk a lot about decarbonization out there these days, the green lunatics that are talking about how we've got to get to net zero, we've got to get to carbon zero, we've got to decarbonate the, you know. Just understand this. Decarbonization is a euphemism for depopulation. Okay. It, as they've said before, you are the carbon they wish to remove. This isn't about cleaning up the environment. You have to understand, the people that are like screaming and shouting about the environment are the same oligarchs that started oil companies that have been polluting the environment. Okay. So it's like, you know, look, I mean, I have a hard time saying like we have to be careful about all of this new technology, you know, this, you know, carbon zero side of things, you know, because if you get to carbon zero, then we no longer exist. Well, listen, these people are playing both sides of the fence here. They started the oil companies, which created this environmental problem. And now they're saying there's an environmental problem. The only solution is that we, the same people that created it, come in and fix it. Do you think they're going to fix the problem? Or are they going to fix the problem like the way the Bobs in Office Space fixed the problem with Milton's paycheck getting there? You know, we just kind of fixed the problem. No more paycheck, right? So you have to wonder about when these people are in a position of power and they're offering to fix the problem that they themselves created. Be very careful about that. They've talked about useless eaters with regard to depopulation. This is Henry Kissinger. This is what they think of you. We've talked about his 1974 National Security Council Memorandum 200, which outlined his plan to depopulate the 13 countries of the third world that he identified, that the United States' position towards those nations should be that of depopulation. No offense, it's not personal, guys. It's just resources. That's what Henry Kissinger would tell you. No offense, useless eaters. We're just going to have to murder all of you because we need your land, you know, the place where you live, it's on top of stuff that we need, whether it's minerals that are in your mountains, whether it's oil that's underneath your feet or gold or cobalt or neodymium or whatever the fuck it is. If you've got it and we want it, you're going to have a crisis. That's just the way it works. So depopulation serves a variety of functions. It satisfies a desire to sacrifice people. And we can be dismissive of this at our own peril. It matters to them. It matters to the Aztecs that we're dragging people up on top of the pyramid and sacrificing them. It sounds crazy and archaic and unnecessary and evil, of course, and it's all of those, but it's also very real. So you have to be careful of being dismissive of the sacrificial component to all of this. It matters to them. That's why it should matter to us. So, you know, when you've got these guys and you hear them talk about things when they think nobody's listening, like Kissinger and these memos, and he's and then you see what he did to Cambodia and Laos, bombing them. Again, when Henry Kissinger is the Secretary of State, he is making policies in Southeast Asia that required the United States and its allies to bomb Southeast Asia to smithereens. And to put that in perspective, when you talk about depopulation, like, was Henry Kissinger really into depopulation? Every bomb that was dropped in World War II in the European theater, in the Pacific theater, from the good guys, the bad guys, all of them, add all of those bombs up for both sides in both theaters, get them all together add all the bombs up, multiply it by two. That's the number of bombs that Henry Kissinger authorized to be dropped on Cambodia, Vietnam, and Laos. And he's still alive. He should die in a Laotian prison. Henry Kissinger should have been held there forever, underneath the prison, in my opinion. But this is what you get when you have depopulation enthusiasts in charge of policy. You get that. You get vaccines. You get the MMR vaccine. You get the COVID vaccine. You get vaccines from the 60s and 70s that are loaded up with SV40, which is simian virus 40, which is a cancer-causing agent, okay? The explosion in cancer is not accidental. It's vaccine-related. If it's the first time you're hearing of SV40, go look it up. Go run down that rabbit hole, right? You don't need to, though. We'll talk about something else then. How about chemtrails? Oh, that's a conspiracy theory. Yeah, except for John Brennan on camera talking about the CIA's atmospheric aerosol injection program and saying that it had been around for decades, right? Admitting this on camera. So again, this is part of a depopulation plan. There's a lot of predictive programming that we're starting to see lately about nuclear war. That's an old favorite of theirs, right? You've seen the, we've seen statistics that show that nuclear activity is at the highest point it's ever been in years in the United States, in Russia, in China, right? It's definitely, I'm talking about nuclear weapons. I'm not talking about nuclear reactors to making energy. I'm talking about the bad stuff, right? That, again, it's technology. It depends on whose hands it's in. You can have nuclear power that covers your entire nation for a fraction of the cost, or you can have nuclear bombs, right? So we're starting to hear, with regard to the predictive programming, that the Pope, who's an agent of evil, in my opinion, at least this version is, saying that the world is on the brink of nuclear war. That's concerning. You've got a New York City broadcast public service ad talking about surviving a nuclear war, right? If you saw that a couple of months ago, and they're running this ad, and it's like, if there's a mushroom cloud, grab your bug out bag and do what? Go to Central Park and wait to die? What are you fucking talking about? If you're in Manhattan and you see a mushroom cloud somewhere, and you decide now's my chance to get out of here and go somewhere, good luck to you. I hope you make it. But why are we seeing that for New York City? Why are we seeing public service announcements? Not how to deal with COVID, not how to deal with anything else. Nuclear weapons. Why did Wells Fargo and Bank of America close 38 branches of their banks in New York City? Why? Do they know something we don't know? The bankers always know first. Watch them. Watch what they do. Why did the U.S. government order $300 million of anti-radiation tablets? Is this just business as usual, replenishing the underground bunkers with fresh batch, or are they planning something? Remember that Deagle present, that Deagle number runs through the end of 2025, okay? We still have some time. And they had a 70% reduction in life across the Western world. Now, they said it was economic collapse and a pandemic. And in the end, that may be what it is. Maybe the dates aren't totally accurate. Maybe it's not 2025. Maybe they were off by a couple of years and you have to extend it out to 2028. Whatever. If there's 70% of the people leaving this planet for some reason, we've got a huge problem. That would be the depopulation. We've got wars in the Middle East kicking off. We have the situation with Israel and Palestine. We have the situation with Ukraine and Russia. We have Iran. We have a lot going on. So I don't know. You tell me, right? Is he out of his mind when he talks about the four D's: digitization, dehumanization, destruction, depopulation. You know what I'd do? I'd add a fifth one to that. How about denial? Denial by the general public. It's up to you. You got to pay attention. Hey, if you like this episode, you can take the additional step right now of sharing it with your friends and family. If you want to connect with me, the website is theoctopusofglobalcontrol.com. You can find me there, or you can follow me on Twitter at macroaggressions. Thanks, everybody. I'll talk to you again soon.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall.
No payments until fall. With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Cosi. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Cosi starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Cosi.org.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall.
No payments until fall. With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Cosi. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Cosi starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Cosi.org.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall.
No payments until fall. With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Cosi. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Cosi starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Cosi.org.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall.
No payments until fall. With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Cosi. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Cosi starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Cosi.org.